The current state of the cattle business, heifer retention, marketing feeder cattle, the latest news. We've got lots to cover. Crew, let's ranch it up. Good day, everyone, and thanks for riding with us on this all-new episode of the Ranch It Up Radio Show. I'm Jeff Tigger Earhart. A big thank you goes out to our partners for today's episode, the American Galve Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station. Cow Country News, you know, the cow stuff.
JBS USA has announced plans to close two facilities as part of an effort to improve efficiency and focus on future growth. The company will shut down its beef production plant in Pennsylvania and its value-added processing facility in Memphis, Tennessee. JBS says the move is part of a larger strategy to modernize operations, improve efficiency, and expand production of value-added food products. The company says production from the two facilities will be shifted to other JBS operations, and customers should not see any disruption in supply. The announcement comes after JBS invested in facilities in Texas, Georgia, and Iowa to expand prepared foods production, modernize plants, and improve efficiency. Earlier this year, the company also combined its beef and case-ready businesses to create a more streamlined operation. The JBS CEO says JBS continues to invest heavily in the United States and the future of food production while making sure its operations remain competitive and efficient. The company says consumer demand for protein remains strong and believes these changes will help position JBS for long-term growth. Last fall, Tyson Foods permanently closed its beef processing facility in Lexington, Nebraska, eliminating approximately 3,200 jobs and removing nearly 5% of total U.S. beef slaughter capacity. More recently, labor disputes have emerged at several major processing facilities. Approximately 1,700 workers at Cargill's beef processing plant in Fort Morgan, Colorado, were locked out after contract negotiations between the company and union representatives failed to produce a ratified agreement. The Fort Morgan facility accounts for nearly 5% of total U.S. beef production. JBS also faced labor challenges earlier this year when nearly 4,000 workers at its Greeley, Colorado beef plant participated in a strike before ultimately approving a new labor contract. Here's the latest on New World Screwworm. As of Monday, June 15th, the total number of domestic cases is now at 12. 11 are considered active and 1 inactive, with 0 active wildlife and feral cases. Counties in Texas include Sutton, an inactive case discovered in a sheep, Edwards County, with cases discovered in cattle and goats, Tom Green County, a case in cattle, Zavala County, cases in cattle, Gillespie County, a case in goats, and LaSalle County, cases in cattle. In New Mexico, Lee County had that case in a dog. Livestock and pet owners, wildlife, game farms, producers, land users, remember to check stock often for open wounds and lethargic animals. Report anything unusual and head to screwworm.gov for the latest confirmation maps, current status, treatment, and U.S. readiness plans. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says the USDA is closely monitoring the New World screwworm situation and what it could mean for the current ban on live cattle imports from Mexico. Speaking at a press conference in Texas, Rollins was asked whether the U.S. could reopen the border to Mexican cattle imports now that the New World screwworm has been detected in Texas. Rollins responded that the issue is not lost on me, and that USDA will continue to watch the data very closely. The comments come after USDA confirmed several New World screwworm cases in Texas, including cases found in cattle, sheep, goats, and a dog. Federal officials say surveillance, quarantines, treatment efforts, and sterile fly releases are being used to contain and eliminate the pest. The U.S. suspended imports of live cattle, horses, and bison from Mexico in May of 2025 because of the northward spread of New World screwworm in Mexico. Before the border closure, the United States imported about 1.25 million head of cattle from Mexico each year, most of them feeder cattle headed to the U.S. feedlots. Some livestock industry groups have questioned whether the ban remains effective, noting that screwworm can spread through wildlife, pets, and other animals, not just cattle. Producers and feedlot operators have also said the closure has tightened cattle supplies and increased costs. Rawlins did not provide any timeline for reopening the border, but said USDA will continue evaluating the situation. Meanwhile, USDA's eradication efforts include expanded trapping programs, movement controls, and the release of sterile flies from facilities in Texas, Mexico, and Panama. Moving into export news, U.S. beef exports continued to slow in April, largely due to limited access to the Chinese market. Through the first 4 months of 2026, U.S. beef exports totaled just over 365,000 metric tons, down 11% from a year ago. Export value fell 7% to $3.13 billion as tight cattle supplies and record-high global beef prices continue to impact trade. There is some positive news. Following a summit between President Trump and the Chinese president, China renewed export licenses for most U.S. beef plants in May. The U.S. beef industry had been largely shut out of China since March of 2025 during the early stages of the trade dispute. However, industry leaders say it remains unclear how quickly beef shipments to China will recover. Additional trade barriers still need to be resolved before exports can fully rebound. U.S. Meat Export Federation President Dan Hellstrom says the renewed plant registrations are encouraging, but more obstacles must be addressed before U.S. beef regains its position in the Chinese market. Outside of China, demand for U.S. beef remains steady. Export volume to the rest of the world is roughly unchanged from a year ago, while export value is up 7%. Several markets are showing strong growth, including Taiwan, Vietnam, Indonesia, the Dominican Republic, the Bahamas, Peru, Colombia, and Guatemala. Hellstrom says global demand for U.S. beef remains resilient despite high prices and limited supplies. He notes challenges remain, including weak foreign currencies and higher energy costs that are affecting consumer spending in many countries. This is Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck, with the latest news for the Ranch It Up radio show. When we return from the break, the current state of the cattle business, feeder cattle marketing, and lots more. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Well, look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Corn Belt Classic is coming up June 16th through the 18th, followed by the Week in the Rockies sale. To consign to the Week in the Rockies sale, cattle need to be cataloged by June 19th, and videos need to be submitted by June 26th. Again, June 19th for the catalog and June 26th for the videos to consign to the Week in the Rockies sale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cowherds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
I run a 150 cow-calf operation.
2 years ago, Nick Small of Fullerton ran into scours in his cow-calf operation.
I had a big problem with coccidiosis scours, and it went to my whole herd.
The next year, after getting his herd on a dosage of Pharmatan Sweet Chestnut Tannin, how many cases of scours did you have?
Zero. I'm not kidding. I didn't have any.
Learn more at PharmatanUSA.com or call Joe Knopp at 402-340-3323.
Cattle Battle.
Welcome back to the Ranch It Up radio show, the most information packed into a 30-minute program that you can find. It's your All Things Ranching newscast, and so glad to be hanging out with each and every one of you. Questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, rants, it doesn't matter. You can call or text. Our phone number is 707-RANCH20. That's 707-726-2420. Our email, ranchitupshow@gmail.com, and prowling around social media at Ranch It Up Show. The state of the cattle business, current prices, drought plaguing many areas, heifer retention, cow herd rebuilding. We cover it all with Jake Tiedemann of Baldridge Tiedemann Angus out of North Platte, Nebraska. Jake, thanks for coming on the program with us today. Now, let's talk the current state of the cow business, especially with video sales getting revved up, cattle being contracted for fall delivery.
If it parallels last year, you know, the June cattle were the cheapest cattle to sell. And yeah. Then as summer went on, people figured out there's nothing out there and it's time to go find them. And, you know, I never dreamt that we'd have that August, September, October climb like we had a year ago. So I don't know if we can be that silly this year, but I really think that we're going to have a bottleneck of a lot of cattle all at once right now. And feed yards are kind of full. So I think we're going to see some issues, maybe pricing wise, solid, but nothing crazy. And then as the summer burns on, get into some of these bigger video sales and stuff, I think we'll see a little spark.
I would agree with you on that side. I mean, normally if you take and you look at Superior sales, that, you know, everybody kind of watches the Corn Belt Classic as kind of a gauge, especially on those northern cattle, like Montana cattle and Dakotas and Nebraska cattle. And yep. Then, you know, historically, I should say, that is kind of used as a rough gauge to track, or I should say, to kind of price out, you know, going to the Week in the Rockies sale and then in Winnemucca, so on and so forth. But I agree with you. I think there's going to be a big push, especially on towards the end of the video runs, like when we get in that Bighorn Classic. I think things are going to get a little wild.
No, I agree. I'm praying we can get some stuff in the Middle East settled out and take a little heat off of fuel. Cause you see it, I see it. We have stretched consumer demand about as far as we can.
Yep.
It's summertime. Everybody's doing family stuff, holiday stuff. I mean, it's barbecue season, but man, we need to make sure that some of these dollars and cents are saved for dear old rancher and feeder and packer instead of all going to gas.
Well, you know, and it's interesting what you said there about packers. And I'm not going to get into going down any kind of rabbit holes. I'm just going to take a 30,000 foot view. And there's only so long that the packer can be losing money. I mean, there's only so long that the guy that's feeding calves can lose money. There's only so long that the retailer can lose money. I'm not saying that's the case. I'm just using that as a scenario. And when everybody's making money along the lines in the chain, if you will, is the ultimate scenario that we'd like to see. But right now, when you look at week after week after week and you look at placements and you see what packers have been losing, there's only so long that is sustainable, because nobody has got an endless checkbook. I mean, there is a floor eventually.
No, I agree. And I'm, you know, I just like you. I mean, we normally, my packer conversations are a little condescending, but I mean, now we need them, and we need them to, you know, they're not going to expand kills a lot, but we need them to keep the process rolling and need them to eke out a living. And I laughed at JBS and laughed at Cargill. You know, those union leaders, they're striking when they have no leverage and no power.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that really made me chuckle this spring. I couldn't quite, and I don't know all the dynamics, but it just didn't make sense to me.
So what's your thoughts on 2027? There's kind of two rules, you know, right now, if you kind of compare, you know, where we're at, I think a lot of individuals are optimistic with these June cattle sales, but then maybe a little bit nervous going into September, October, not knowing, is there going to be a bump like there was last year? If there's going to be a little bit of pressure on those cattle, that's kind of one train of thought. And then the other side, on some economists, are extremely optimistic of 2027. Now, I know we haven't even marketed this year's calf crop, but I'm putting you on the hot seat here. What's your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, to be honest with you, the safest, most honest, genuine answer I can give you is I don't know. And my gut feelings are, you know, Mother Nature and moisture are going to be our X factor, number one. And number two is going to be, you know, consumer demand and where we shake out there as we get into, you know, back to school times, always tight on families and stuff. And we'll, you know, be kind of interesting to see how froggy we are in that kind of September, early October, you know, get past Labor Day, get kids back in school, and there's usually a little shakeup right then, you know, and then you get into the holiday season where we get a little climb again. So I'll be anxious to see what that September, October looks like. But, you know, people are trying to hang on to some heifers. If we don't get that rain, obviously our country's droughted out and burn up, and you know, people are trying to scramble and hustle and do all they can do. But if we don't get a little moisture across a lot of cow country from coast to coast, you know, those heifers that are pigeonholed as being replacements right now, they're going to go right back into the feeding stream.
Right.
And
right.
So that shakes things up for 27, 28. I mean, it our rebuild can't get momentum, which helps our prices. You know, I mean, this whole thing is a rubber band that gets pulled and released and back and forth, but the numbers aren't there. You know, consumer demand has been amazing. I mean, the people that, and I think it started with COVID. I think it's continuing to evolve in a positive way with some of the dietary recommendations and high protein diets, and people focusing on their health and diet a little more. That's benefited beef, and I'm optimistic. I'm excited about that. I'm thankful for that. But to answer your question with authority as to what things look like in 3 months or 2 years or even next summer, I don't know. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic. I think from a seed stock perspective, we're trying really hard to do the best that we can to make these things as good as we can to help rebuild the cow herd in a positive manner to create the baseline to keep these ranches together as we swing through the opposite end of the pendulum. But I don't know if that's 28, 9, 30, 31. I don't know what our timeline. We never do. I mean, that's the nature of our business.
Jake Tiedemann of Baldridge Tiedemann Angus taking a few minutes to visit. We so appreciate it. Now, some important dates to be aware of. Starting out Thursday, June 25th, that's the Western Video Market Silver Legacy Consignment Deadline. Also going on Thursday, June 25th, Northern Livestock Video Auction will be having their early summer special. June 26th, Friday, is the video deadline for Superior Livestock Auctions Week in the Rockies video sale. Now, that sale is coming up July 6th through the 10th. Superior Livestock Week in the Rockies, July 6th through the 10th. Now, the deadline to get your cattle cataloged for the Video Royale sale hosted by Superior Livestock Auction is Friday, July 10th. Now, those important dates and deadlines for the Superior Livestock Auction sales, head to ranchchannel.com. We've got them all laid out there for you, or head to superiorlivestock.com. Time for a quick break. When we come back, we've got Kirk Donsbach with the numbers and more of the cow stuff. The Ranch It Up Radio Show shall return, so keep it parked.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop LivestockMarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls, and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at LivestockMarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House, and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Calf prices are good, but want to add another $100 per calf? Here's the solution. Gelve and Balancer females at an average maternal weaning weight advantage of 22.7 pounds per calf. At a market price of $4.50 a pound on 5-weight steers with a 22.7 pound weaning weight advantage, that's an additional $102.15 per calf. Gelve and Balancer females, they make it work.
Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products.
Ah! Welcome back, everyone, to the Ranch It Up radio show. That time of the program, we check in with Kirk Donsbach, StoneX Financial Incorporated, recap of the markets from the previous week. So, Kirk, what do you got for us today, my friend?
Well, good morning, Tigger, and all your listeners out there. As of Friday, June 12th, the big news event was JBS USA announcing the closing of two plants, one in Pennsylvania and the other one in Tennessee. Volume-wise, these were fairly small plants, so not sure the market is going to be overly concerned. On a more anecdotal note, my big concern has been the packer paying $405 for product coming in the door and in the $390s leaving the door, i.e. profitability. And this definitely suggests that the packing industry is struggling with profitability. Moving on to the futures market, August feeder futures closed the week at 357.05. That's up 332.5 on the week, with the CME feeder index up 663 on the week at 368.01. I think the move in cash feeders is largely the big rain event that most of us got, seeing some grass, and then, of course, also the correlated weakness that has shown up in corn. The basis at a still fairly wide positive $10.96 versus August futures. August live cattle closed the week at 240.95. That's down 67.5 on the week, with cash trading 255 to 256, leaving the five-area weighted average down 223 at 245.15. That was on 1,508 head, which is a fairly light test. Basis versus June futures is positive 445, fairly reasonable basis. Choice boxes were down 77 cents at 391.93. with a weekly slaughter of a very low 524,000 head, 9,000 head below last week, and 36,000 head below the same week last year. Again, this is the number I'm very concerned with. Our weekly slaughter continues to be below the placement number, even though the placement number is historically small. Dress weight seasonally decreased 4 pounds to 897, which is 34 pounds over last year. The combination of the two left yearly production up 0.2% at 6.3% lower than last year. Fresh beef imports were up 11% year over year, with Mexico 1% higher on the week at 24% above last year, and Brazil and Australia 13% above last year. To wrap this all up, December corn closed the week at 440.75. That's down 6 cents. Corn made new lows for the move following the USDA's bearish South America production numbers. However, we consider these prices a good point to consider booking some of your corn needs going forward.
Are you making hay every year because that's the way you've always done it? Or is it actually a profitable entity for your ranch? Hey, hey, I'm Shay Warner, and you are listening to the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast. I visited with Carson Roberts about how to determine if a haying enterprise is the right decision for your operation. Here's a portion of our conversation.
Rising costs of equipment, and equipment costs have gone up. And in fact, if you're going to go and buy a brand new baler today, it's going to cost you roughly 28 calves to buy a brand new round baler. And you say, okay, well, that's not too bad. But compare that to 50 years ago. 50 years ago, it only took 14 calves to buy a brand new round baler. And we're looking at about 10 times faster inflation rate than cattle prices. So if you're thinking about it that way, especially if you've been in the cattle business for a long time, to be honest, the times have changed just a little bit because the relationship of cattle prices to equipment has changed drastically.
Ready to tune into the full conversation? Check out the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast on your favorite podcast player as soon as you're done listening to the Ranch It Up radio show.
Just received a text a few minutes ago asking if we would go through those sale dates one more time for the upcoming video sales from Western Video Market, Northern and Superior Livestock Auction. More than happy to share that information with you. Starting out Thursday, June 25th, that is the Western Video Market Silver Legacy Consignment Deadline. Also happening on June 25th, Northern Livestock Video Auction. We'll be hosting the Early Summer Special on Friday, June 26th. That is the video deadline for cattle that are consigned to the Superior Livestock Auction Week in the Rockies sale. Now, that sale is taking place July 6th through the 10th. That Superior Livestock Auction Week in the Rockies, July 6th through the 10th. Now, also happening on July 10th. That's a Friday. That is the catalog deadline for Superior Livestock Auction's Video Royale sale. Now, these dates are coming up awfully fast. If you're thinking about marketing your cattle with anyone, I would get a hold of them right away, be it a country buyer, be it you're thinking about your local sale barn. If you're looking at some of the video markets like Superior Livestock Northern or Western, I highly advise that you get a hold of those reps right away. The information for Superior Livestock Auction, the deadlines for both the catalog and for the video are available at ranchchannel.com, and we will also have sale recaps for all of the different sales starting out with the Corn Belt Classic and going all the way into the fall on ranchchannel.com. And now that's going to wrap it up for today. A big thanks goes out to our crew, Jake Tiedemann of Baldridge Tiedemann Angus, Kirk Donsbach with StoneX Financial Incorporated, Shay Warner with Casual Cattle Conversations, and the boss lady, Rebecca Warner, a.k.a. Beck. A shout-out to our partners for today's episode, the American Gelvy Association, Pharmatan by Imogene Ingredients, Jorgensen Land and Cattle, LivestockMarket.com, RanchChannel.com, The Sales Series, Sire Buyer, Westway Feed Products, and this fine radio station. And crew, so glad y'all came with us one more time as we ranch it up. Be sure to follow and like us on Facebook at Ranch It Up Show. Our email is ranchitupshow@gmail.com. You can call and text 24/7. That phone number, 707-RANCH-20. That's 707-726-2420. Spread the good word and join us again next week where it's always Tigger Rebecca approved. Stay ranchy and ranch it up.